Well, whether it's a tiny warbler or maybe a great big bird of prey, birds, of course, are fascinating. We're often talking about the threats to their habitats and their survival, but there are some great success stories as well out there. And we're going to talk about the osprey today as part of our series of programs marking the 40th anniversary of the passage of the Endangered Species Act. And so you're going to learn, you and I are going to learn about osprey today and probably some other things as well as we visit with our two guests. Patricia Manthey, avian ecologist with the Bureau of Endangered Resources in our Wisconsin DNR. Pat's worked with peregrine falcon restoration and with population monitoring of peregrines, bald eagles, osprey, trumpeter swans. Currently semi-retired?
Semi-retired, working half-time.
Half-time. But she's obviously very, very active. And Pat, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
Appreciate it very much. Ron Eckstein is now a wildlife biologist volunteer, if you can believe it. So he retired in December 2010 after 36 years as a DNR wildlife biologist at Rhinelander. And he worked on forest ecology, wild rice, eagles, and osprey as well. Ron, great to see you. Thank you for coming.
You bet.
Pat, first, you know, there might be some people scratching their heads out there and saying, well, what really is an osprey? So why don't we talk about that right off the bat?
Okay, an osprey is a large bird of prey, wingspan of about 6 feet. They are associated very strongly with water. They fish, that they eat almost entirely fish. Maybe 99% of their diet is fish. So they like to live and nest near water. And water that's clear enough and shallow enough they can catch fish.
And so, Wisconsin, I mean, we got a lot of water, so there should be osprey spread around the state pretty well. Although, looking at some maps, look like they're concentrated in some areas.
Yeah, they're concentrated much more up north. Mm-hmm. The main thing that limits them is nest sites.
Yeah.
Because what we census is their nesting population. And they need a place to nest. They want to be on the tallest thing in the area and near water. And that used to be a lot of dead tree snags. There aren't as many of those around anymore.
Yeah. And Ron, sort of like the bald eagles, the osprey were heavily affected by pesticides at one point.
Yes, just like the eagle, starting in the 1950s, we developed the organochlorine pesticides that was used widely, farms and fields. They bioaccumulated in the environment and affected many birds of prey, eagles, peregrines, ospreys, even robins and things like that. To Wisconsin's credit, Wisconsin was one of the first states in the Union back in 1969. Here at the university, Dr. Hickey and others got the legislature to ban the manufacture and use in Wisconsin of those particular group of pesticides, and then a national ban shortly thereafter. And over time, the ospreys and eagles did recover.
Yeah, and it's a great success story. There's still challenges out there. As Pat, as you were saying, the nesting is always a challenge for them.
Right. They're very nest site limited and so very dependent on man-made structures, ones we've specifically put up for them as nesting platforms, and also they'll use anything that looks like a tall dead tree, a cell phone tower, a power line, a rusting piece of equipment with some big boom on it, ball field lights, anything. They just have a hard time finding a good place to nest.
Yeah, but we're getting some help from power companies, aren't we?
Oh, yes. During the last about 15 years, the Department of Natural Resources had been putting up osprey nest platforms, mostly in the north on wildlife areas around the state. But funding for that kind of went away during the 1990s. And ospreys, as Pat was saying, really like high structures, and power lines are really great places. Mm-hmm. So in the last 15 years, the electric transmission and power companies, their decision was, well, we're either going to try to keep the ospreys off our power lines, or we're going to accommodate them. And the same with the cell tower folks around the state. And good news for the osprey, as the companies decided to accommodate the ospreys and have erected many, many osprey nest platforms around the state. so that today probably estimate the statewide population maybe as much as 40% of the breeding osprey population nest on electric transmission lines.
Wow.
In the state. So they're very important. These
very
days.
Good success story then.
Yes.
Very much.
Oh, appreciate that information. Patricia Manthey and Ron Eckstein, our guests today, they are experts on a number of things, but the osprey is what we're dealing with a little bit today, zeroing in on. Have you ever seen an osprey? Where was it? Did it happen? Did you happen to see it fishing? I got some pretty cool video that we'll talk about in just a minute. Join in with your questions or comments about osprey as we visit with our two guests today at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page and you can post a comment there or a question. And we've already had some video, as a matter of fact, posted. You really have to go to my Facebook page today to see that because we've got a caller, Chris, I believe, listener Chris, posted a video of an osprey fishing. So you'd see a video of an osprey catching a fish, which is pretty cool. Pat, have you ever seen that happen?
Oh, yeah. It's just wonderful. Osprey tend to hover quite a ways above the water and watch for a fish. And when they see one, they dive down feet first and grab the fish. And they'll go way into the water to grab that fish and then come out. And once they're out of the water, they almost always turn the fish head forward so it's aerodynamic. And they also shake the water off just like a dog shaking. While they're flying, they do all this.
Hopefully, I haven't had a chance to look at this myself because it just got posted, but hopefully we'll actually be able to see that as we talk with Pat and Ron today about the osprey. So go to my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show and click on that and let's take a look and watch that osprey in action. Mike in Madison has a comment. Hi, Mike. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, actually, I changed my comment to a question because I'm wondering, I heard you talk about how they like to feed along the rivers. Now, there's osprey here in Madison on the south side of town that live in some cell towers, but I've never seen them out fishing anywhere. I've never seen them on the lakes here while I'm out fishing, and I've also... there's an osprey nest on 47 just north of Rhinelander that's been there for years and years, and I've never seen them out fishing on the lakes in that area either. See plenty of eagles out fishing. I'm just wondering, do they fish in the rivers mostly, or do they stick? I just don't see them along the lakes often. They usually seem to be nested near rivers instead of the lakes.
All right. Ron, what do you...
Well, it turns out the ospreys do... fish in shallow water. What they really like is shallow water. They're eating panfish for the most part. You know, they can't lift anything more than about a pound in weight out of the water. And it turns out they're pretty efficient hunters. And during the nesting time when the female's taking care of the young, the male does all the hunting. Turns out he can do most of that hunting in about 30% of the day. So most of the time he's sitting around preening and watching. And ospreys are still quite rare. So, for example, in the Stoughton Nest, they might be hunting in an area that has some nice shallow water. If you're not there, you won't see them. As far as the Rhinelander Nest, those birds hunt on the Wisconsin River. There's a place called Munninghoff Flowage nearby there, and they hunt that shallow water. And you'll see them quite often there.
Very cool. Thanks a lot for calling, Mike. Appreciate it. And I want to mention now, we have some posts, too. We have two osprey cams. And we posted as comments to the our Facebook status. So you can go, if you want to go take a look at the osprey cam, it's pretty cool. And then listener Chris posted a video of an osprey fishing. So lots of good things to see at our Facebook page. So I hope you'll go to the Larry Mueller Show for that. And to those have you guys watched the cams at all, Pat? And
uh-huh. Oh yes, Ron? The Collins Marsh one is on a state wildlife area in the Green Bay area, and that's the local one to watch because it's right here in Wisconsin. They have two babies in the nest, and you can watch them.
and boy, they're popular. They get a lot of views.
Oh yes,
it's pretty cool. Mike in Sister Bay, Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. Good morning to you and your guests.
Mm-hmm.
I live part-time at about an elevation of about 9,000 feet in Colorado, and there was a golf course that was restructured, and across the road from the golf course is a small reservoir, and part of the restructuring deal of the fairways is XL Energy promised and did build an Osprey platform on this dual vertical power posts, and so it's a huge platform, and it's really a thrill to watch the Osprey go across the road to the reservoir and fish and then come back to the nest. And the end of my point was, if your guest could elaborate on the fact that these nests, I've been told, I mean, it's a gigantic structure, and they, oh, and the same ospreys come back year after year after year. The nest, I've been told, weighs between 1 and 2 tons.
Huh? Ron, what do you think?
Well, that's really big for an osprey nest. Here in Wisconsin, they're much smaller. Mostly, they were building on snags and trees. You know, historically, that's where they really wanted to nest. And because they're on the top of a dead tree in the wind and so forth, these nests don't last very long on natural structures, and so they never get very big. Although occasionally, with the right kind of structure and the right kind of platform, they do get pretty big. We have one in Oneida County on a power pole that we now estimate is about 4 feet tall. That's the tallest one I know about in Wisconsin. So I'm not sure how much that would weigh. But many times on platforms here in Wisconsin, they don't build much of a nest at all. They just utilize, they put some material, the sides of the platform about 6 inches high, they fill up that with nesting material, and you don't see much of a nest above the platform in many cases here in Wisconsin.
Some of the eagles' nests that we have in the state will get pretty darn heavy.
Oh, very big. Yeah. You know, we know of eagle nests in the Lake Country in northern Wisconsin that have been on resorts where they've been known to nest in the same tree for over 100 years, and those nests can get very, very large.
Yeah.
But, of course, they're as big as the tree can hold them. And
yeah.
And the osprey nests just aren't that big. On the plat, for one thing, they choose a really exposed site, so yeah. Often the wind takes part of the nesting material away and they need to replace it. So, as Ron says, it's kind of rare to see a big nest, but I do remember one, again, on another power pole that looked like a 3-level layer cake. They had built on it and built on it and built on it.
Very cool. Thanks a lot for calling, Mike. Appreciate it.
Sure. Thank you.
And Steve in Lake Geneva, hello to you.
Hey, everybody. Great topic. I love it. I love the big birds, the birds of prey. Yeah, I was up in on the Wisconsin River below the Peatonwell Dam fishing towards the end of August last year, and a lot of bald eagles there, and there were a couple of osprey, and I watched an osprey with a huge, it almost looked like a tree in his feet, carrying it off. So one question is, do they have a second brood, or do they just breed late in the year like that? Or, and then the second question is, or more of a comment, it's my assumption that bald eagles and osprey do not like each other because they seem like they fight a lot by the dam. And that's all I got.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Well, it's first of all, it's when ospreys are carrying sticks, it's usually to build a nest. And usually they do that right away in spring. And later in August, it's they might be repairing a nest for next year. Maybe a very, very, very young pair coming into the population. They tend to nest really late and build nests really late in the year. And it's really true that eagles and ospreys don't get along. Eagles are notorious for stealing fish from osprey.
Oh.
Ospreys are very efficient. But there's a food chain going on there. So my wife and I were on the Rainbow Flowage in Oneida County here a number of years back. We saw an osprey catch a fish, start to fly away. Here comes the eagle, dive bombs the osprey. The osprey drops the fish into the water. Eagle circling down to get the fish, and oh, here we hear a motor start up, and a fisherman comes along, and he got the fish.
Oh, great story. Ron Eckstein and Patricia Manthey, our guests today, experts, wildlife experts, talking with them today about the osprey here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Happy to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer, answering the phones when you call in, as we talk with Ron Eckstein and Patricia Manthey of the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources about ospreys. And, you know, here we are in the 40th anniversary of the passage of the Endangered Species Act. And osprey, of course, fell into that category. Great to have them along. And certainly, if you have a question, join in at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. And John and Anigo wondered if osprey do, in fact, return to the same nest every year. Is that pretty much the case?
Pretty much, as well as we can tell.
Yeah. Now, so they're going to be going back to the same place every time. Adam in Collins, Wisconsin. Your turn. Hi.
Hi. I'm the naturalist at the Collins Marsh Nature Center, and I think you touched on it, but I just wanted to call and tell people to take a look at our live camera we have on the osprey. It's www.collinsmarsh.org.
Actually, we have that up on our Facebook page, too. So if people go to my Facebook page, they can just get a click on the link, and it's right there.
Excellent. Well, thank you for having me on the show. It was an excellent topic.
Well, have you had a lot of fun with that feed?
Yeah. We're just around 30,000 views total now, and we've had it up for about 2 months, so we're very happy with the results.
I would think so. Thanks, Adam.
Yep, thanks for having me.
Yeah, appreciate the call. Yeah, that's another great one to look at. So go to that cam. We'll just go to my Facebook page. You can find all that. Ken in Siren, Wisconsin, your turn. Hi, thank you for calling.
Yeah, I'd like to know how to go about getting some platforms put up. I have 300 acres of land on water, but I don't have the money to put up some platforms for it. So I'd like to know how to go about getting some help.
All right, we got 300 acres. We got property with water, but no money, or at least not money to build something. Is there opportunity?
I know that DNR doesn't have the money to do it either, but you might be able to contact a local power company. They might be interested in helping you put up a pole. One of the biggest problems of it, or challenges, is to get the pole set up. So that's one good possibility. And you may be able to get a platform through your local DNR.
Right. You're being at Siren. Probably you can contact Ryan Magana at the Spooner office, DNR mm-hmm. office, Ryan Magana at Spooner. He would have plans for how to build a platform mm-hmm. and how best to place it. And again, local conservation groups, maybe a fishing game club or a local conservation group, might be helpful. The department doesn't have any cost share for that.
Okay. There you go. Good luck, Ken. Thanks for calling. And Marba in Ashland, hi to you.
Hi. I wanted to call in earlier, and you already talked about this a little bit, but we were sailing probably about 12 years ago on Lake Pepin, which is the widening of the Mississippi, and it's not very deep there. And we saw this osprey flying across the lake with a fish in its talons, and along came an eagle and kind of swooped down and started harassing it and grabbed the osprey's fish right out of its talons, and the eagle flew off with the fish.
We call that kleptoparasitism.
Or just being a big thief.
Yeah, good story, Marvel. That must have been fun to see.
Oh, it was amazing.
Thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
Yeah, appreciate it. Wow, what a great opportunity to experience something like that. Jim in South Range. Hello, thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. You're welcome. I have two experiences. One, a couple years ago, while driving a bus for the Down to Earth company up in Barnes area that Dave Thorson's run, we were going along Nemecaugan Lake, and an osprey had just taken a fish and was getting up out of the water, and we had a whole crowd of people on the bus watching this thing. And as the bird got up, the osprey was maneuvering it was a big black crappie, good sized fish, and he turned it in so it acted like a keel. First it was flopping and twisting and so on, but then when it turned the fish pointing into the direction of travel, it was kind of neat how he handled it. That's one experience in that eco-touring thing. And the second was last winter. We were down in the Florida coast area, and there's two state parks, Honeymoon Island and Caladese Island, down around Palm Harbor and Dunedin Clearwater area on the coast of Florida. And there were bunches and bunches of of osprey. We took a hike around this 80-100 acre island, and we must have seen 15 or 20 different ospreys, all sitting on nests. So I assume they run to the end of the land and down in Florida, and they set up on these little islands, and it was really quite an enjoyable afternoon watching these things all over the place.
Oh, sounds pretty cool. Jim, thanks for calling. Comment from...
The osprey in Florida will nest much closer together and on these islands, much different from the habits of the osprey in Wisconsin, who nest almost exclusively on tall structures like trees. But we have the one that's been on a rock out in a lake, but otherwise it's all on trees or tree-like things.
Huh.
So different subpopulations have different habits.
So one's right on a rock.
Right
on
the rock.
It jets out of the lake.
Right on the rock, and it's successful most years. Local people bolt right up to it, look at it, take pictures. We have several on stumps in central Wisconsin. So those are the lowest spots, and, of course, the very tallest spots are fire towers, actually manned fire towers right above them. And some of the communication towers, we have some on 400-plus foot-high communication towers. So those nests, the ospreys, are pretty windy. Wouldn't want to be there during a thunderstorm, things like that. So pretty exciting for the ospreys to nest that high.
And on some of those tall towers, there's a beacon flashing continuously right next to them, and that doesn't seem to deter them at all.
Wow. That's amazing. I would have thought that the light would drive me crazy.
You bet.
Oh, that's for sure. Thanks again, Jim. Appreciate it very much. Rick in West Bend. Hello to you. Thanks for calling.
Hi. This was several years ago. There was a helicopter pilot that was telling me the National Guard volunteered their services and did a training mission, and they flew over and dropped long poles with weights on the end of them specifically for osprey nesting poles. Did that happen, and was that a success? It sounded like they'd fly over the lake and drop these poles with a weight down at the bottom, and it would go down into the lake and embed in the lake bed. Is that true? And was it a success?
Well, we've toyed with the idea.
I'm going to jump off here. I'll take it off here.
Okay, thanks.
In the past, we've toyed with the idea when DNR was involved in erecting many, many osprey platforms with bringing in helicopters, and the idea was the National Guard might be helpful as a training exercise, and the idea was they'd drop these poles with the platform attached, sort of like an arrow, and so they just drop and then hit the marsh, not the lake, but a marsh area that has organic soil, and just plunk right into place. But as far as I know, I've never heard that we've ever done that.
I've not heard of it either.
There you go. Listener Wayne posted a photo of an osprey on our Facebook page. And you can see it if you go to the right column of the homepage and then click on recent posts by others. And we'll try to get that up. And I'll try to get it up, too, because I'd like to see that. Let's see. Recent posts by others. Let's just grab that right now. See what we can find. In the meantime, you can take a look at it, too. And you can also call in if you have a question or comment as we talk with avian ecologist Patricia Manthey and wildlife biologist Ron Eckstein of the DNR, both of them, about the osprey. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page, as many people have already today. Post a photo, a question, or a comment right there at the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. And Wayne says this guy visited our 1 acre backyard pond here in Krakow, Wisconsin, about 30 miles northwest of Green Bay, for several days in a row. And is that what we have there?
It's an osprey, but probably not a guy. There's some necklace. If you look at the photo, normally ospreys have a white breast and white belly and some dark markings right to where you would normally wear a necklace. But the females tend to be bigger, and they tend to have a darker, more pronounced necklace. So a lot of times if you're on a lake or watching ospreys, if If you see them perched side by side, the female is a little bigger. But if you can watch them with binoculars, the female will have this more pronounced necklace of darker feathers on her.
Very cool. So as you're going to our Facebook page, by the way, click like while you're there, and we'll send you regular updates. We're at close to 3,700 fans on our Facebook page, so I want to get – it'd be great if we could go over that today. So click like while you're over there looking at our osprey photos and for information on the various webcams that are out there. Tom in New Berlin has a question for you. Let's go there. Hi, Tom. Thank you for calling.
Larry, thanks. This is a great show.
Thanks.
Love listening to it. The question I have, about a year or 2 years ago, I live in New Berlin around 170th and Lincoln. There's a spring-fed pond. We see a lot of turkey vultures out here, and I saw one I thought was a turkey vulture, but from the wing pattern, it didn't have the straight pattern of a turkey vulture. It had a crooked wing pattern. Huge bird flew up and landed on a high tension wire. And I'm wondering, do they migrate, osprey? It landed long enough for me to have a look at it. Dark and gray feathers throughout. Very big bird. I'll take my answer off there.
Okay. What do you think, Ron?
Ospreys definitely migrate. They're true, we call neotropical migrants, mm-hmm. Just like the warblers. They go to South America from Wisconsin, they spend the winter. The first-year birds do go down there and don't come back until about the third year. They stay in South America for the first couple of years of their lives, come back as breeding adults. Some breed in their third year, most in their fourth or fifth year of life. Mm. So the bird that was seen there was likely, if it was an osprey, was likely a migrant and heading on down to Point South.
All right. And caller Mike from Stoughton says there are, of course, osprey in Mann Park. We were talking about that earlier in Stoughton. They have a big festival going on there next week. They're wondering if that's going to affect the osprey. You know, a lot of noise and a lot of people. Is they going to have any impact on them, do you think, Pat?
Depends on whether they're really close to the osprey, but I assume that they're not going to get very close to the osprey. The best way to tell if you are bothering the osprey is it will start vocalizing very loudly at you. So if it's doing that, move back farther away.
On to Pat in Duluth, Minnesota. Hi, Pat.
How you doing?
Great. Thanks for calling.
Good. I just have a question of the game fishermen that are up in northern Wisconsin, Minnesota area.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't personally experienced, but I'm a game fisherman also. There's a lot of sensitivity with the osprey because in some of these fisheries that are up in the area in the northern part of the state, in the volume of fish that they take. And the question is, has there ever been a study in what the impact is on some of the sensitive fisheries that are trying to be developed in different areas?
Okay, Ron, you know of any?
Well, certainly ospreys, what they eat are panfish. You know, so they're eating hand-sized fish. That's what they're trying to take. If there's a really great food supply, for example, if you have a trout pond, like a private trout pond, and ospreys find it, well, it's just, you know, smorgasbord, they can affect that. But in the wild, in, for example, the only sensitive fishery I can think about would be some of the trout fisheries. And in Wisconsin, ospreys will eat trout, but it's not their preferred species in trout streams. Mm-hmm. They're mostly panfish, crappies, bluegills, sometimes suckers, small northerns, bullheads, a lot of bullheads, stuff like that. So the real small muskies, walleyes, things like that are really not taken. Occasionally it'll take some perch, but small fish. There aren't enough ospreys really around to impact a fishery. But a localized pond or possibly a spring pond that's been stocked for trout, something like that, there could be some problems with ospreys taking a lot of the fish, easily caught fish right away.
Yeah, but how many fish would an osprey eat? I mean, we're talking about a few hundred birds here for the whole state, right?
Yeah, about 500 and a little over 500 pairs of osprey in the state, scattered across the, you know, the entire state. So, for example, if you were in Oneida County, has 85 pairs of osprey, so, but also has many, many, many lakes and streams and, you know, flowages, so that they're spread out. Ospreys, they might hunt maybe three or four times a day, take a fish or two, you know, a pan-sized fish or two, three or four times a day. They take fish, but not enough that we know to impact important fisheries.
Yeah. And they're only fishing in the shallow water, too, so anybody who's out deep is safe.
Yeah. Aaron in Menominee, Michigan, hello to you. Thank you for calling.
Thank you so much. I've been driving. I had to pull over to ask you this question, so I'm really excited. I was wondering, you mentioned the Endangered Species Act. I know it's pretty strict. I was wondering, is it ever okay to disturb an osprey nest? And if so, or if not, what's the fine for that? Or what's the implications on that?
You cannot disturb it during the nesting season. From the time they're starting to build the nest through the young hatching and leaving the nest area, you cannot do that. They're not protected under the Endangered Species Act right now. They're protected under the Migratory Bird Treaty Act. I don't know what the fines are, $5,000 maybe?
Yeah, it's substantial, but you would really have to be doing something pretty outrageous to get that fine. Osprey tend to be pretty collegial with people. They tend to tame down when they know people. Many landowners are quite familiar with ospreys nesting on their land or nearby. Ospreys get used to those folks and, you know, don't disturb them at all. The way you would really disturb an osprey is during the egg-laying period when they're on eggs, and you would really be around the nest a lot, and the ospreys would be around calling and being off the nest and not incubating. That would probably be the major disturbance. Once the young are in the nest, it's pretty hard for them. You're not going to cause them to abandon the nest or anything like that. They're going to feed the young. So unlike some of the other raptors, ospreys are pretty compatible with people.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And you can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions and comments. Somebody wondered, you mentioned that they don't come back from their first migration right away. They stay for a couple, 3 years. And why is that? Somebody was wondering.
I guess we don't know the answer. There are a couple good questions. We don't know why that happens. Maybe gain experience. Another good question is, why don't they breed in South America? Perfectly good fish habitat there, but they don't. So I guess we don't know the answer to that.
I wonder why. Maybe it's the... It's always warm. Maybe it could be a disease issue for raising young.
Yeah, I'm not sure. These are birds that are not sexually mature yet, so they're not going to be breeders. If they would return as young birds, they just fly around Wisconsin, you know, catching fish and then go back south in the wintertime. So why do the perils of migration when you're not going to breed anyway? Why not wait till you're ready to breed and then make that perilous migratory
And they're coming from where? They migrate from?
South America. Many of the Wisconsin birds and North American birds go to South America. So northern part of South America.
Yeah. Long flight.
Yeah. And, of course, in South America, they don't have many of the laws we do here in Wisconsin as far as protection of birds, and there are many dangers there, too, for them.
Yeah. Lee in Cambridge. Hi. Thank you for calling.
See, Ben, picture... I-94, headed toward O'Hare. About 10, 15 miles out from O'Hare on the south side of the road is a marsh, loaded of big dead trees around it, and probably a dozen big nests up high. Osprey?
Probably great blue herons. They're community nesters. Although occasionally you might see one osprey nesting on the edge of one of those great blue heron colonies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There you go.
I think the osprey got to learn that two of them go together. One harass the eagle, while the other one takes the fish home.
There's a plan.
Thanks, Lee.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I like that idea. Dean in Ocano, hello.
Hello. I just wanted to make a comment. I lived down in Key Largo, Florida for 25 years and did a lot of trips along 18-mile stretch between Homestead and Key Largo, and spent a lot of time on the water, so I had an opportunity to observe the ospreys down there. And I just wanted to mention that I've seen them grab barracudas out of the water that were probably three times their weight, and with one flap, they were airborne, you know, which I imagine would have taken a considerable amount of strength to do. And I worked as a boat repairman, and my place of employment was right across from the NOAA building down there, and they always had a huge osprey nest up in their radio tower. And when I go over there to do estimates on some of their boats, they had a particular place that you had to walk, because as the ospreys are feeding on the fish above there, they drop bits and pieces all over the stairs, and any visitors might at any time get a piece of fish or whatever landing on their head or whatever. And, you know, I just thought I'd comment on, you know, how strong I thought they were, and you know, very beautiful.
Yeah, thank you very much for calling. They're strong birds.
That's an amazing story. But they do. Lots of junk gets dropped out of the nest. And I was at a nest once when we were actually climbing and taking some chicks out for translocation. And I swear that osprey purposely threw a crappie at us.
Well, you think the osprey? I mean, they've come back. It's still a ways to go, though, right?
Well, they're recovered species, and so there's, DNR calls them special concerns. So we're going to continue to do some monitoring of them, mainly because they're a kept population. And by kept, we mean that such a large percentage of the overall population, over 80%, nest on artificial structures. So it's not like some other species, the habitat's there, it's habitat's clean, off they go, they're on their own. These birds are nesting with people, so we'd have to pay some attention in the future to make sure the power companies, the cell phone companies, and our osprey platforms around the state are kept up and in good shape. And boy, we've had some great partners in the state, the power companies, cell phone companies, conservation groups, Audubon clubs through the years have just done remarkable work providing nest platforms and enabling the osprey to come off that list.
Well, I'm tell you what, it's been a real pleasure to be able to talk with you both. I want to thank you so much for coming by. I hope we can do this again.
You bet.
Thanks, Larry.
Appreciate it very much. Patricia Manthey is an avian ecologist with the Bureau of Endangered Resources in the Wisconsin DNR. She's worked on a variety of birds, eagles, osprey, trumpeter swans, among others. She's working halftime now. He's currently semi-retired. Ron Eckstein is retired, but he volunteers now, works full-time anyway, just doesn't get paid for it. And he was the DNR wildlife biologist at Rhinelander for 36 years. They've done wonderful work, and it's great to have them here to talk with you. Well, we've been devoting a monthly segment to the 40th anniversary of the Endangered Species Act. And again, thanks, Ron and Pat, for coming by. But other important environmental legislation was passed in 1972 as well. And coming up next, Denny Knaff of the River Alliance of Wisconsin tells us where we are at 40 years after the Clean Water Act went into effect. I hope you'll stay tuned right here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.